Good morning, everyone. Today we are learning Krisis. We're in the. We're going to start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis. Yesterday we got through one of the more difficult sugyas of the second parak of Krisis, really of the Masechta itself. A very difficult discussion about how to treat a leida immediately after a leida, right, or a miscarriage, a nafal, but immediately after a leida. And how do we work it regarding the woman's bringing of the karbanos and the counting of her tumah tahara for the second leida? So that was yesterday's discussion, machlokes between the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara spent most of its time treating Rabbi Yehuda's position because Rabbi Yehuda's position opens itself to a lack of clarity, but limits itself to a lack of clarity. And so what the Gemara tried again yesterday was a better understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. Additionally, yesterday we also went through a list of those Yisurim in the Torah, where you bring a carbon Ola V'Yore, where you bring an adjustable carbon, carbon Chata. There are five of them in the Torah, three they mentioned at the end of Parshas Vayikra, and then two scattered out throughout the rest of the Torah. One is Mitzora, and the fifth one is the Oledes. So those are the different types of carbon chattises where it's variable. It depends on the person's financial portfolio. We went through a little bit of math yesterday where the Gemara talked about how much the poorest person is going to bring, the Dalei Dalos, and through a little bit of computation, the Gemara arrived at that the idea that it's a pruta, that he only has to bring a mincha offering, which is only valued at one pruta, which is really the smallest denomination that they had. Okay, and we continue with the Mishnayos, and we're on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis. God willing, today we're going to finish the perek and start the third perek of Krisis. So, without further ado, there is a parsha at the end, not the end, sorry, in the middle of Parshas Kedoshim. Okay, Achrei Motzei Kedoshim is where you're going to find all the arayos in the Torah. Any one of the illicit relations in the Torah is found both in Achrei Motzei and in Kedoshim. It's repeated. Achrei Motzei is said once to give us the Azhara, to give us the warning, and then it's repeated again in Kedoshim to give us the Onish, what the actual punishment is going to be. And then as you continue through Kedoshim, so then the Torah has an extraordinarily obscure discussion of something akin to Arayos, something like Arayos, but it's not exactly Arayos. I'm going to read the Pesukim, and we'll try to make sense of it. The Pasuk says, this is now Perek Yotes, I start with Pasuk Chaf. So, V'ish ki ishka v'sisha shechva zera. If a man were to sleep with a woman, shechva zera. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain why does the Torah have to be so graphic in terms of describing shechva zera. V'hi shivcha necharef es leish. And she is a shivcha, a maidservant, who is necharef es leish. Necharef es is a funny language. I don't know another place in Chumash where we have such a language. Rashi on Chumash says it's miyuedes or miyuchedes, meaning she's designated to another man. Doesn't say she's married to another man. She's designated to another man. Okay. Oh, great. I'll get to definitions in just a moment. Just right now, I'm just articulating how vague this parsha is. V'havdelo nivdasa. Now she's not redeemed. And she's not free, which seems to be redundant. So bikaris, now bikaris usually means an investigation, right? Levaker. It means some sort of investigation. We're going to see the Gemara. Rashi and Chumash says that it's a reference to Malchus. Okay, we'll talk about how we got that. Bikaris. Now, the chupasha, sorry. Don't kill the man because she's not a free woman. Ostensibly, she's a slave. And so for doing this act, you bring a karban asham. Okay, so we're going to call this from this point forward the shivcha charufa. Right? If a man sleeps with a shivcha charufa, with a maidservant. Now, a couple of things which are clear, although a lot of things which are not. Number one, she's not a married woman, right? Torah says that very clearly. She's not a married woman. Meaning, has she been a married woman, so then this would be Eshizish. This would be the violation of Arayos of sleeping with a married woman. And there, Karban Chatas is well beyond Karban Chatas. Not even, I mean, sorry, over here it mentions Karban Asham. Meaning, it's much more than Karban Asham, it's a Chiv Misa, it's a capital offense to have relations with a married woman. So, the first point, which is extraordinarily clear, that is she's not a married woman.
She's Miyuedis.
She's designated to a man, but she's not a married woman. So, that's the first point. And the second point, of course, which is why we're discussing it now, meaning, it's good to understand what these Pesukim mean. Why the second parak of Krisos are we discussing this? Because you'll remember, in the second parak of Krisos, we went over a list of things where shoge kemezin, where it doesn't matter whether you do the act intentionally or unintentionally, you're going to bring a karban. There are only four times in all the Torah where shoge and mezin are treated the same vis-a-vis karban. This is one of the four times. So as long as we brought up this parsha in the context of the halacha of shoge kemezin, so now we're going to try to figure out the rest of this parsha as well. So, ma bein shivcha lebein kol ha'arayah. So, if you want, the Shita takes out the word levain. So, we start with the Mishnah. So, what are some basic differences between this parsha and all the other arayahs? And again, as I mentioned earlier, arayahs are scattered throughout the rest of this, parsha. Meaning, you're going to find arayahs in Achremos and in Kedoshim. There are fundamental differences between this and the Arayah. Shalo, Shavsalahem, Love Onish Velobe Karban, where they're not the same. They're not the same in terms of punishment, they're not the same in terms of Karban. Shekola Arayah Bechata. So the Gemara first starts off difference number one. All the other Arayahs, if a man engages in any one of the Arayahs Bishogeg inadvertently, so the Karban that he brings is a Karban Chatas. Fine. That's what we learned from day one of Masechta Krisos. V'shivcha ba'asham. However, when it comes to a man having relations with this shivcha, with this maidservant, so it's an asham, it's a karban asham. Two. Kol ha'arayos, skip the parentheses. Echad ish ve'echad ish shavin, b'makos of a karban. When it comes to all the other arayos, the man and woman are the same. Meaning they're going to be treated the same in terms of the punishment. Meaning if there's makos to be given, it's going to be given to the man and to the woman. If there's a karban that needs to be brought, it's going to be brought by the man and by the woman. Meaning both of them are just as culpable and just as liable in the act of relations. However, uvishivcha lo hishra lo ha'ish le'isha. Abemakos v'lo hishra ha'isha le'ish bekarban. However, in this union, in this forbidden union between a Jewish man and a maidservant, so it's not, they're not going to be treated the same. But rather, the man is going to not be getting makos. The man is going to be bringing karban asham. The woman, on the other hand, is going to be getting makos, but the woman is not going to be bringing a karban asham. Meaning there are two different punishments. The man, karban. The woman, makos. And that's it. V'lo hishve isha lishba karban. Kol arayos asa behem asa ma'ara kegomer. Also, when it comes to all the other arayos in the Torah, so partial penetration is just as liable as full penetration. However, v'chayva kol bia obia. And on the top of that, you're going to be chay for every single act of relations. However, zechomer hichmer b'shivcha. I'm sorry, just fill in the missing part of the sentence. That's not true by shivcha charufa. By shivcha charufa, so first of all, it has to be gomer. It has to be a total penetration of the man into the woman, a partial penetration. That's what the Mishnah refers to as he'ara, ayin resh hey. Partial penetration is not going to be liable. Now, at least we know where that came from, meaning that's where the Torah says shechvat zera. When the Torah describes the act of relations and then throws on top of the word shechvat zera means it has to be a full penetration. Okay, and on top of that, you're going to be chai for every bia and bia, meaning in the world of arayos in general, but by our shivcha charufa, even if you engage in multiple acts of relations with this shivcha charufa, you're only going to be chai of one carbon. That's also a point that we made earlier in the second parak, which now, again, is another reason why it comes up over here, why the Gemara is discussing, Mishnah is discussing it in more detail now. Zechomer hichmer b'shivcha, she'asa ba'asa mezik kishogeg. Now, one chomra that we have by the shivcha charufa that we don't have by other arayos is that mezig is equal to shogeg. I mean, if a man has relations with the shivcha charufa b'mezid, so he's going to have that liability to bring a karban as if it was a shogeg. It's interesting, the Mishnah refers to it as a chomra. Could have argued that it's a kula, the Torah is giving you a kapara opportunity. Okay. Now, ezu shivcha. Now, after going through all the details, now the Mishnah takes a step backwards and says, oh no, by the way, who is she? Right? So now we know that if a man has relations with an Eved Kenani, with a Shivcha Kenanis, so there is going to be liability. He's going to bring a carbon, she's going to get Malkus, and that's what the Torah is describing. Now, it can't be that that's it. Meaning, let's see if we can try to iron this out a little bit better. Right? If a man has relations with a woman who is not engaged and not married, in this case, a Shivcha Kenanis, right? I mentioned this the other day. It's wrong. The Torah does not condone it in any way, shape, way or form. It's not Derech Yadus. It's not Derech Tzidus. It's just not the Jewish way. But if a single man has relations with a single woman, so we're not talking about Malkus. We're not talking about liability. In other words, it's not. We struggle to put in a category. If it's an erva, so at least we have a category to put it in. But if it's just a man and just a woman, and she happens to be, in this case, not even Jewish, she's not Jewish, she's not Jewish, she's somewhere in between, right? A Shivcha Kenanis, I should have made this point at the beginning of this morning. Shivcha Kenanis is somebody where once she's purchased, she told us in the mikvah, she now has a status. She's not a Jew, she can't marry a Jew, but at the same time, however, she's not a non-Jew. She's a Shivcha Kenanis. She has to be Shomer Shabbos. She has to keep Shabbos. She subscribes to all the mitzvot that a Jewish woman would subscribe to. Okay, so she has a particular status. But if she were single and he were single and they had relations, that in and of itself is not sufficient to be talking about an offense, like a legal violation. So it's clear that she's somewhat married. Here's the tricky part. Who's she married to? Now, the Torah doesn't even describe marriage. The Torah says, "V'hi shivcha necharefes le'ish." She is a shivcha, maidservant, who is designated to a man. What does that mean? What does it mean she's designated to a man? Is she married or is she not married? And if she's married, she can't be married to a Jewish man. So she's married to a non-Jewish man? Okay. All these questions basically lead the Tanayim to the point of she's really right in the middle, if we can imagine. So we're on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah asks a simple question: who is she? Ezu Shivcha, Kol Shechetzi Shivcha VeChetzi Bas Charim. Shenemar Va'Avdei Lo Nidasa Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now, one change we're going to make in the Mishnah is that instead of Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to say Rabbi Akiva. Okay, we're going to assume that the first opinion belongs to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says she's half slave, half free. How do you get to that state of life? So the easiest construction of the case is where she was owned by two people, right? So each person has now 50% ownership of this Shivcha Kenanis. One of them freed her and one of them did not free her. Okay, now, there is another Mishnah. In Gittin, we talk about it, that it's not a good place to be in life, meaning if she's a Shivcha Kenanis, that's fine. If she's a freed slave, that's fine. But to be half and half, that's a very untenable position to be in. So the Mishnah elsewhere says, Machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but Beis Hillel ends up agreeing to Beis Shammai. We force the other partner to free her. But right now, she's half and half. Now, it's interesting. Who can she marry right now? So, as we'll discuss this later on, I'll show you Rashi later on, she's really limited. Meaning she can't marry a non-Jew because half of her is free. She can't marry a Jew because half of her is not free. So who's she going to marry right now? So the answer is an Eved Ivri. Now the Mishnah doesn't say this, but as we go through the Gemara later on, it will be clear, the only one that she can marry is an Eved Ivri. We know that if a man has an Eved Ivri working for him, and he has a Shivcha Kenanis owned by him, so he can pair the two together. It's not marriage, but it's a pairing. And then the Eved Ivri can even have children with the Shivcha Kenanis, that they will have children together. And then we know once the Eved Ivri goes free, so then his quote-unquote wife and his children remain by the owner, and he goes free.
So even according to Rabbi Akiva, where she's in this case, quote-unquote, half-free,
right,
and half-free, still marry
an Eved Ivri. Well, because Eved Ivri can attach himself to either half.
Right.
Meaning the Eved Ivri can attach himself to the freed half because
right.
He's Jewish and her freed half is Jewish. And he can attach herself to the Shifcha Kananis half because the Torah is Matir and Evid Ivritu Shifcha Kananis. It's two different types of attachments. Meaning the half that's attaching itself to the Evid Ivri, that's marriage. The half that's attaching itself to the Shifcha Kananis is, I don't even know the words to describe it, but it's a union. It's a legal union.
Right.
Correct. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So it's interesting. I mean, we're talking about a really limited case over here where the Torah is describing a carbon that's brought under these very unusual situations. Really, think it through and you realize, like, what kind of application are we talking about where the Torah is talking about a man who's having relations with a woman who's in this state of being, meaning she's half an Ashifcha, half a Jew, designated to an Eved Ivri, and now a man's having relations with her? It's very difficult to imagine, but Rabbi Akiva is saying, don't imagine it, that's the case, that this is the legislation, this is what the Torah is talking about. This is the case that the Torah is talking about. Rabbi Shmuel Amar, he's a Shivcha Vadais. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. He says, no, she's absolutely a Shivcha. She's 100% Shivcha. And again, just a little bit of a blank we need to fill in. She's an absolute Shivcha, plus she's, again, Necherefes Le'ish, she's Miyuedes, she's designated to a man. And as the Gemara later on will point out, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, that man is an Eved Ivri. And now you're having relations with her. Is she a married woman? Yes, kind of. Meaning, it's a legal union. The Torah acknowledges that an Eved Ivri is allowed to be with a Shivcha Kanan, so it's a legal union. And then the Mishnah is going to sound like it's repeating itself. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Kol Arayis Mufarashes Vishir Ein Lanu Ela Chetzi Shifcha V'Chetzi Bas Chorin. And Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says it's talking about a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, which is pretty much the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara later on will point out, what did you add to the discussion? It sounds like you just repeated yourself in terms of what the case was. Now, first of all, a couple of things the Gemara wants to understand before we come back to this basic machlokas of Rabbi Kiv and Rabbi Shmuel. First of all, we said, she gets machlokas, he doesn't get machlokas. Okay? So if a man engages in relations with this shivcha, right? Again, not the Eved Ivri, the Eved Ivri who she's designated to, talking about another Jewish man, who is not married to her, who is not designated to her. But if he has relations with her, she gets malchus, but he doesn't. How do I know that? Tan Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, Bikoris Tiyah, Malamichi Elokim. So it's Bikoris Tiyah. She's going to get the investigation. She's going to get the malchus. So Yachosh Neim Lokim, Tamalam, or Tiyah, he Lokim, Vihian, or Lokim. Fine. Tiyah means it's her, not him. O Minayin de Hadain, Bikoris, Lishan de Malchus. So now, the word Bikoris is strange. How do I know that's referring to malchus? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Tehei b'kray. Now Rashi over here explains, what does that mean? Bikoris from the word kra, which means read the psukim. Remember in Malchus, in the third parak of Malchus, when someone's getting Malchus, what's happening while he's getting Malchus? In addition to him experiencing pain, he's also reading psukim, meaning they actually read the psukim in the Torah that he violated, so the message is really sent home. Meaning, it's not just physical punishment, but it's physical punishment for the purpose of him understanding, her understanding, what just happened. Why are you getting these malchus? So they're reading the psukim. So the Gemara over here says, Bikares from the word kra. Right? They're reading the psukim as he's getting malchus. Kedetayin, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Malchus, Gadol Hadayan in Mikra, Sheni Mone, Ushlishi Omer Hiko. So the Gadol, the older one of the Dayanim, the three Dayanim, so he's going to be reading Psukim. The second one is counting to make sure that they get the right number of Malchus. And Shlishi Omer Hiko, and the third one is instructing the lashers to lash. Ravashi Amar Bibikorti Kididnan, Enom Demoso Ela Malchus Arun Lishtalesh. A second pshat of the Gemara is Bikoris from the word investigation. What investigation is vis-a-vis Malchus? So again, we go back to the third parak of Malchus. What do we learn over there? Is that he needs a physical. Before anyone gets Malchus for an infraction of a negative prohibition, so he needs a physical. We need to know that we're not going to kill him. Malchus, the purpose of Malchus is to give corporal punishment, but not to kill. So what the physical will tell us is, how much can he or she handle? So if his physical came out where he's not so strong, so they'll reduce. And just as a side point, I mean, that's just explaining the Mishnah, Ruin Lishtalesh, it has to be where it is divisible by 3. So in other words, 39, 36, 33, 30, it's got to be number divisible by 3. And the reason why, Rashi over here explains, the Gemara Makos over there explains, is because it's 2/3 on the back, 1/3 on the front. Tana Rabbana Bizman Sheisha Loka Ish Mevi Karban. Eina Isha Loka Ein Ha Ish Mevi Karban. Now, even though they're getting two separate punishments, she's getting Malkus. He has to bring a Karban. Okay, is that fair? So, I'll just simply say, sure. Not because I understand, but the two punishments are linked. Meaning, she's only going to bring Malkus. Sorry, did I mess that up? She's only going to get Malkus when he brings a Karban. He will only bring a Karban when she gets Malkus. Meaning if for whatever reason she's not getting her Malkus, he's not going to bring his Karban. If for whatever reason he doesn't bring a Karban, she's not getting her Malkus. The two are connected. Lonitan la. The Gemara quotes the pasuk, and then the Gemara analyzes. Michti ad hacha biish kamishtai kra. Look, it's funny. The Torah, when describing the incident, starts from whose perspective? Him. The Torah first describes it in pasuk haviish ki ishka v'sisha, meaning we're like turning all of our attention to him, and then the Torah kind of like shifts its attention. The Torah, it's almost as if the Torah says, "Oh, wait a second." Wait, hold on one second. And then it addresses her. So how does it go? How come it goes from him to her? So nechta vehevi es hashemol hashemol v'sof lechta bekoros tiyah. Why don't we first finish up our discussion by him? You slept with a shivcha kananis. You need to bring a karban hashem. And now you, and now we turn our attention to the woman. How come the woman's like placed right in the middle? So amai kas rachmana bereisha bekoros tiyah l'v'sof kas vehevi es hashemol hashem hachi kamar. Im bekoros tiyah he... The two of them are connected. Meaning his bringing of the carbon is going to be contingent on her getting Malkus. If for whatever reason she doesn't get Malkus, even if it's a technical reason, he doesn't bring a carbon, the two of them are connected. The Gemara makes a suggestion. The Gemara knows this is not the case. The Gemara just wants more clarity. Maybe, suggests the Gemara, she should get the Malkus and she should bring the Karban. Meaning that if we did redirect the Pasuk to her, meaning you're going to get a Bikaris, you meaning the woman, so then when it says, bring your Karban Hashem, so maybe that's also still talking about the woman. So maybe she's got to do both. And what about the man? The man's not going to get any punishment whatsoever. Now, is that fair? So this is just a suggestion of the Gemara, so I don't have to answer that question. Vehevi es Hashem al Hashem ksiv. But the Gemara says, no, but grammatically you know that's not true because it says Vehevi. Vehevi is Lashon Zachar, and he brings his Karban Hashem. Okay. Am Rav Yitzchak l'olam enu chayv el ha-shivcha be'ula, bilvad. Shenemar v'hi shivcha necher efes le'ish. The Gemara brings another halacha regarding the shivcha charufa, which is that she has to have had already relations in the past. Meaning, it will not, the punishments over here of the Karban Hashem and her getting Malkus will not occur if this was her first bia. Okay, now, why should that be? So I'm not 100% sure. Meaning, you maybe want to make the argument, although the Gemara doesn't say this. I'm saying this right now, and this may be totally wrong and incorrect, but maybe because she has not had bia yet, so that means that she's not designated to a man. Remember, this is not a classic marriage. This is a union, a legal union, that the Torah acquiesces to, where the Ivri can be set up with the Shivcha Kananis. And maybe the only way that the union is concretized is by them having relations. Meaning there's no Erusin, there's no Nisuin, right? No Sheva Brachos. Meaning this is not a regular Kiddush and Nisuin. So maybe the halacha is that she has to have already had relations is based on the fact that that's what creates a legal union between the Eved Ivri and the Shivcha Kananis. But again, that's just me thinking out loud, and I'm not sure if that's accurate. But anyway, but that is the halacha. The halacha is that all these punishments, Asham for him and Malkus for her, is only if she was already had relations previously. How do I know that? The Gemara says because of the word Necher Ephes. As I mentioned at the beginning of today's daf, when reading through the psukim, necharefes is a strange word. It's just, where else in Chumash do we have it? So, I don't know. The Gemara quotes Navi, where we have this a couple places. V'yishivcha, necharefes lish, umayimash madai necharefes lish n'dishnu yehu. The word necharefes means it has undergone a change, a physical change, dichsiv. And here, the Gemara quotes first from Shmuel Beis, Vatishtach alav harifos, and he spread out the ground up corn. Right? Harifos is not just corn, but corn which is ground up, meaning corn that undergone a physical change. So here when it says that she is a woman necharefes la'ish, it means that she went through a physical change, i.e. she had relations already in the past. V'ibayzema imtichosh ha'avil b'machtesh betoch harifos ba'ali. If you crush up the fool with a machtesh, betoch harifos ba'ali. Pasuk in Mishle, I don't fully understand the pasuk, but again, the idea is that the harifos cognate with the word harufa means something that has undergone a physical change. Okay. So far, so good. Right? We're struggling, meaning it's a difficult parsha, and we try to make heads and tails about what is exactly going on over here. Who is this woman that the man is having relations with? It's not adultery. It's not formal eshes ish. That would be a capital crime. It's not a carbon chatas, it's a carbon asham. So right now, we're somewhere in the world where she's a shivcha kananis, and she's designated to a man who is an eved ivri. Okay? Before we go further in the Gemara, I mean, before we go back to the main topic, the Gemara says all this will lead us to a better understanding of a pasuk in Ezra. We mentioned Ezra a number of times in terms of, you know what Ezra was fighting? He came to Eretz Yisrael for the first fight that he had is trying to get people to go to Eretz Yisrael in general. Right? We live in Boca Raton, we understand this fight. People like Gullus, people like the diaspora. So most of the Jewish people did not come back with him to Eretz Yisrael. He was only successful in bringing 40,000, 40-some-odd thousand Jews to go back to Eretz Yisrael together with him. That was one issue that Ezra had. Another issue that he had is that those who decided to come back with him weren't the firmest. What was the Musar Shmuz that Ezra was giving to the people that came back with him? Divorce your non-Jewish wives. In other words, it wasn't, you know, be more careful about your Shmir Shabbos and, don't use a cliche. In other words, those weren't the Musar Shmuzin that he was giving. It was, get rid of your non-Jewish wives. Okay? So in other words, it was really basic Judaism that he was talking about. So the Gemara quotes the following pasuk. This is in Ezra Perek Yud. Vayitnu yadam lahotzin shehem. So they agreed to divorce their wives, meaning he was successful in his musar. Ve'ashemim ayel tzon al ashmasam. And then, as a way of doing tshuva, they brought a carbon asham. That's the pasuk in Ezra. Now, it's a little bit strange, but we can now say, actually, a pshat in that pasuk. Amar evchista malamit shekulam shivchas harufas balu. That when they had relations with shivcha harufa. Meaning, you got to say that. What else are you going to say? Meaning, where else in the Torah do we find that if a man has relations with a woman, he brings a carbon asham? If it's arayos, and if it's arayos b'shogeg, so you bring a carbon chatas. You don't find anywhere else in Chumash where a man has relations with a woman, and it's an illicit relation, and the carbon that you bring is a carbon asham. This is it. This is the only place that you find it. So the Gemara says, okay, must be, the conclusion is, that they were having relations with shivcha harufa. Right? Like what we're discussing over here. Again, strange, meaning, not, in other words, they weren't non-Jewish wives, they were maidservants. They were all having relations with maidservants. So you could say something along those lines. Ezehu Shivcha. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay? We're going to go now back to our Mishnah, and we're finishing up. Meaning now we're going to talk about who is the Shivcha Charufa. So, V'avdei Achokula. So the Torah says, V'havdei. And she's redeemed. So, Tamalamar, lo nivdasa. Not so fast. The Torah then goes on to say she's not redeemed. Yacholon if dasa, I might have thought she's not redeemed. So tamalam ravavdei. The Torah says, wait, she's redeemed, right? You see, this is exactly what's bothering Rabbi Akiva. Meaning the Torah itself is extraordinarily ambiguous in terms of what her status was. So that's Rabbi Akiva's position, exactly. She's redeemed, she's not redeemed. She's not redeemed, she's redeemed. Right? Confused? Don't be. She's half redeemed and she's half not redeemed. And she is me'urasa. She is betrothed. Let's not be so technical about that word, even though the Gemara uses the words erusin. This is not real erusin. This is just a legal union between the Eved Ivri and the Shivcha Charufa. So again, in other words, the point again is that she is a she's set aside. She's not married, but unionized together with her Eved Ivri. So if another man have relations with her, so that is a violation of her legal union. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Exactly what we saw back in the Mishnah, but now with a little bit better understanding of how Rabbi Akiva arrived at that conclusion. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shivcha Kanaz, Kasa Medaber, Omu Uresas La Eved Ivri. So Rabbi Shmuel says, no, she's a full Shivcha Kananis who is unionized with an Eved Ivri. Imkein Matamalama Havdelo Nivdasa Dibatur, Kloshim Bnei Adam. And Rabbi Shmuel says, what about the Havdelo Nivdasa? So Rabbi Shmuel says, take it easy. Meaning there the Torah is talking like you and I talk. Meaning you don't have to sit on every single word of the Pasuk. Just read, V'havdelo nivdasa. She's not redeemed. She's a Shivcha Kananis, period. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Yomer Kol Ha'aretz Mefureshes Lanu, Mishuya Lanu Chetzi Shivcha Chetzi Bas Chorin, Umerset Le'Eved Ivri. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov seems to be repeating Rabbi Akiva. But we already saw this in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov is repeating Rabbi Akiva. What is he adding to the discussion? The Gemara is going to ask that question in just a moment. Now, L'Rabbi Shmuel, B'Shalom Avavdel and Nevdasa K'diktani Dibratar Kolashim Bnei Adam, Ela Diktani Meresu La'Eved Ivri Minalan. So the Gemara says, look, I understand Rabbi Shmuel subscribes to this idea of Dibratar Kolashim Bnei Adam. Meaning, don't get so caught up in every single word. The Torah speaks an expression. The Torah says, V'Havdelo Nevdasa, and just read that, she's not redeemed. Fine. But how do you know that she is unionized with an Eved Ivri? Now, before we go further in the Gemara, Rashi makes a very good observation. The Gemara jumps to Rabbi Shmuel's position. Meaning, remember, we just quoted a Braisa. The Braisa first quoted Rabbi Akiva, then quotes Rabbi Shmuel, and then gets to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara just bypassed Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, you Rabbi Shmuel, how do you know that she's together with an Eved Ivri? How come the Gemara had no problem with Rabbi Akiva? Meaning, Rabbi Akiva also made the same declaration. She is coupled with, she's paired with an Eved Ivri. And the Gemara was like, okay, fine, no problem at all. Oh, but Rabbi Shmuel, how did you know that? Right? Let's go back to Rabbi Akiva for just a moment. Can we ask the same exact question to Rabbi Akiva? So Rashi's bothered by this very question. How come the Gemara just bypassed Rabbi Akiva? And Rashi writes, it's right alongside where we are in the Gemara, a little bit above where we are in the Gemara. Bishlam Rabbi Akiva demukila bechete baschorin lo baikla adikla meimer midechayv ala rechman avadai merasasim Yisrael. That tafsala kiddushin hilka chikla meimer levad ivrin is kasha. Sharei Rabba Moshe lo bal karcho kedem mefash bekiddushin. You see, according to Rabbi Akiva, who else is it going to be? Meaning, according to Rabbi Akiva, once your starting point is she's a chatzi chatzi, she's half an evish, she's half a shivcha kanais and half a freed woman, there's no other candidate who could be her partner in life. It can only be an Eved Ivri. Because half of her is freed. Okay, Eved Ivri is Jewish. So he can connect himself with her free side. Half of her is a Shivcha Kanani. Again, no problem. The Eved Kanani can unionize himself with her as well. Granted that that has to be done by the owner, but the only candidate who could be her spouse is only going to be the Eved Ivri. So that's why, says Rashi, the Gemara went right by Rabbi Akiva, blew right by Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Akiva, the only candidate is an Eved Ivri. But now, according to Rabbi Yishmael, what was his position? She's a full Shivcha Kananis. Okay, now, who's her husband? So now the answer is not so simple, because we have more than one candidate. On one hand, it could be the Eved Ivri, paired by the master. That's a possibility. But it's also just as possible that her husband could be an Eved Kenadi. So you see that according to Rabbi Yishmael, you know, he's not limited to who the candidate of her spouse is, which then prompts the Gemara to know, according to you, Rabbi Yishmael, how do you know who the spouse is? Right? So the Gemara says, so now let's answer the question. So Rabbi Yishmael, how do you know? Sorry. I lost my place. Bishop Kanaz, because of my mercy, I'm going to be able to get my mercy, I'm going It says she's not freed, meaning right here the accent, she's not free. She's not free, but her spouse is free. So that's how Rabbi Shmuel knows that her spouse is an Eved Ivri. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah behind Rabbi Akiva, another Gemara, asked the question we could have asked back on the Mishnah. We're now asking on the Brice. That's really the same question. What is Rav Elazar ben Azariah adding? He's repeating what Rabbi Akiva said. So the Rabbi Yishmael Kamar, Lidi Dibama Kavasech Svir Leid, Dibber Torah Kolosh Menei Adam. It's Rav Elazar ben Azariah dialoguing with Rabbi Yishmael. I normally agree with you. I subscribe to this whole idea of Dibber Torah Kolosh Menei Adam, where you don't sit on every single word of the Torah. The Torah speaks. The Torah speaks like you and I speak. The Hachashani Mechtik Siv Leikra Ki Lo Chupasha. Look, it's what bothers me, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to Rabbi Shmuel, is the total repetitive nature of the pasuk. It says ki lo chupasha, she's not a free woman. Got it. And then the Torah repeats and says v'havdelo niftasa. Oh no, by the way, she's not redeemed. Yeah, I got that. The Torah already says ki lo chupasha. So lamali shma mina lahachiyasi lechatzi shifu chatzi bat chorin. That's exactly the reason why the Torah says that. It's to tell us that she is somewhere in the middle. Meaning, in this case, I have to agree with Rabbi Akiva, because the language of the pasuk is so repetitive. Now, according to the Acherim, which is the fourth position brought to us in the Braisa, how do we know that it's a de'evik kanani? So, I'm a krek, yilo chupasha, imeno inyan lidida. Taneu le'inyan l'didei. Okay, so if it's not telling us anything about her, so let the pasuk say something about him. So according to the Acherim, it is she's married to a Eved Kenani. Okay. Yes.
To send their wives away.
Mm-hmm.
Who is he talking about?
I mean, he's talking to the people who made Aliyah with him.
No. I'm talking about the husband. Who's is it the Eved Ivri or is it the one that violated?
You're talking about.
It's violated. How could it be his wife?
Right. It's not right. So, and if it's talking about the Eved Ivri, so they don't have to bring a carbon.
Right. So, which one is he talking about? That if they send away their wife.
It sounds like the way the Gemara. It's a good question. The way the Gemara sets it up, it sounds like we're talking about the one who violated. Meaning they.
How could it be his wife?
It's not his wife. It's. In other words, your partners. Basically, it's they took these women who were. The whole thing is strange. Meaning that every one of them ended up partnering with a shivcha who was a half who had an Eved Ivri as a partner. It's strange. The whole thing is strange. But what's prompting Rav Chista in saying all that is why did they bring in Karban Hashem afterwards? Meaning, if you want to just tell me that they're married to non-Jewish wives, that's fine. Meaning, unfortunately, we in America, we understand that. That's fine, but why then bring the Karban Hashem? And there is only one place in all the Torah where we see that an illegal union results in a Karban Hashem, and that's here, that's right here. So that's what leads Rav Chista to the conclusion, although it's a very bizarre conclusion, as you're pointing out right now.
Maybe it was just a by Ezra.
Yeah, so it's funny. I didn't mention this when we learned the Gemara, but I'll mention it now. If you look in Sefer Ezra, and you look at the Mefarshim in Sefer Ezra, they say exactly what you say. Not that she's a Shivcha Kananis, but just simple case, a non-Jewish wife.
Right.
And the Karban was a special Gezerah. Okay, interesting. Next Mishnah. Kol Arayos Echad Gadol V'Echad Katan Katan Patur. Okay, now once again, we are comparing and contrasting differences between Shivcha Charufa and all the other arayos in the Torah. So when it comes to all the other arayos in the Torah, so if, let's say, the union is formed between a Gadol and a Katan, or Gedola and a Katan, or a Ketana and a Gadol, so the Katan is going to be Pater, the Katan is going to be exempt. Echad Er ve'echad Yashan, Yashen, right? One's awake and the other sleeping, Yashen Pater, so the one who's sleeping is going to be exempt. Echad Shogeg ve'echad Mezid, Shogeg be'chatos and Mezid be'kareis. So the one who's in Shogeg is going to be a chatos, and one who's going to be a Mezid is going to be kareis. Now, the Mishnah, as I say the Mishnah, you realize the Mishnah is simply not clear. Meaning, let's just go jump right to the Gemara. V'hacha chayev katan? Meaning, what are you saying over here? In the case of Shivcha Charufa, let's say that the man is not a man, but rather it's a boy. Okay? Let's put him over the age of 9, so therefore his bia is a bia. Meaning, physically he can have bia, but legally he's not a baronchin. So what are you saying? You're saying that he's going to be chayev? He's a minor. Minor don't have culpability. So I'm Rav Yehuda, hachi katani. So Rav Yehuda immediately says, this is how you're supposed to understand the Mishnah. Look, in a regular arayos relationship, in a gadol and a katan are having relations, so the gadol, who is responsible for his actions, is going to be punishable. The katan, who's not responsible for his actions, is not going to be punishable. Okay. But in the case of Shivcha Charufa, remember we made this point earlier, we're making it again right now. They are connected. I'm not talking about a physical connection, I'm talking about legally connected. The fate of one depends on the fate of the other. So if the union of the Shivcha Charufa, if one of them is a minor, let's say he is. If he's a minor, so he doesn't bring a Karban Asham. But that we knew already. She's not going to get Malkus. Because her receiving a Malkus is only going to be contingent on him bringing Karban Asham. And we're going to do this again. Look, in a union of arayos, if a man and woman are having relations and one of them is sleeping and the other one's awake, so the one who's awake is going to be liable. The one who's sleeping is not going to be liable. That's a normal case of arayos. Meaning each person is treated independently based on their involvement in the act. However, v'ner chayav, v'kan afil v'ner pater. Here, in the case of Shivcha Charufa, they're connected. So the fate of one is contingent on the fate of the other. If one of them is sleeping, so the one who's awake is not going to have liability. Because he will only have liability if she does. She's only going to have liability if he does. Okay, and we're finishing off the parak with a really, really difficult braisa. Meaning, we're going to read the braisa. It's going to be very hard to make heads and tails of the braisa. In fact, it's such a difficult braisa. You'll see the first reaction after having read the braisa is, how about we just delete the whole braisa? Like, just hit the delete button. To which the Gemara says, nah, let's not do that. Let's give the following pshat, and the pshat is going to be a very difficult pshat in the braisa. Okay, so, and this is how we finish the perek. Tani Tana Kame Derashesh, Asu Gomer Kema'ara. The one who finishes his bia, meaning total penetration, is like partial penetration. Miskaven Kishen Miskaven. Having intent is like not having intent. Kedarka Shalok Kedarka. Having regular relations is like having Shalok Kedarka, anal relations. Ne'er Kiyashan. And being awake is like being asleep. That's the Braisa. So Amalei my Kamart. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? So even aside from the fact that there's so many delicate issues in this Braisa, but like just what are we even talking about? My Kamart, Iba Shivcha Charufa Katani, Amayasu Gomer Kamara, Gomer Bishivcha Charufa Mechayev, Mara La Mechayev. Look, didn't we already establish that by Shivcha Charufa, unlike all Arayos, where partial penetration is considered bia, in the world of Shivcha Charufa, it has to be a full penetration of the man into the woman, because the Torah uses the word Shivcha Zera. So, the Braisa is not talking about Shivcha Charufa, because it's not true. A partial penetration is not like a full penetration. V'su miskaven kishen miskaven I mechavna mechayve ilo lo mechayva. And kavana is essential. And ukedarka shlo kedarka nami kedarka b'shivcha chrufa mechayv shlo kedarka lo mechayv. My time is shivcha zerksiv. And in the world of Arayos, so bia shlo kedarka inner relations is treated just like regular relations, normal relations. Meaning, in the world of Arayos, the two are considered bia. In the world of shivcha chrufa, that's not true because the Torah says shivcha zera, which means that it has to be the regular act of relations. So, and umay nir kiyashan. And finally, I mean, we've already dismantled this brisa, but as long as we're here, nir kiyashan, awake is like a slave, the ibisha arayas katani asu gomer kamara. And if we're talking, oh, fine. So if you want to tell me that the subject matter of this brisa is not about shivcha charufa, but rather you'd like to tell me that the topic of this brisa is about regular arayos, so then, again, it doesn't make sense. The brisa should not say Asu gomer kema'ara, that full penetration is like partial penetration. It's just the opposite. Ipcha mi baye, top of yudalf amud beis lemisne. Meaning the whole point is that a partial penetration is like a full penetration. So finally, after just absolutely dismantling the brisa, realizing that we have no understanding of this brisa whatsoever. Amar lei ismaye. So now, here's the Gemara suggestion. Delete the brisa. Meaning, what can I do? I have this brisa. I thought it was trying to teach us something. You're right. It doesn't seem like it's making any sense whatsoever. Maybe we should just delete the brisa. Right? These kinds of suggestions are made in the world of brisas. Remember, we change brisas often throughout the Gemara. Brisas need modification, need adjustment. Here, this brisa sounds so difficult. The Gemara makes a very strong suggestion of maybe deleting it. Amar lei lo. So, the Gemara says, no, let's not do that. But rather, let's give the following interpretation of the Braisa. We'll try to sustain the Braisa. Hachiktani. Asi gomer shalo kedarka, b'shivcha charufa, delo mechayve, kema'ara kedarka. So, a man has a full penetration, but shalo kedarka in the world of shivcha charufa, where you're not going to be chayev, kema'ara kedarcha, like partial penetration kedarcha, meaning, by shivcha charufa, the Torah is extraordinarily specific in terms of what qualifies, how do you define relations? So a full penetration from behind is not relations. A partial penetration from the front is not relations. The Torah is extraordinarily clear and specific here by shivcha charufa. D'shechva zerik siv, and why? Because the Torah says shechva zera. Now, again, basically we're going to make the same point, that a miskaving, even if he has intentions to have relations, but shlokadarka, by shivcha, that's going to be exempt. Again, shechva zera, says the Torah. Near shlokadarka b'shivcha d'peturin k'yashin. My time is the shechva zera k'siv. And again, even if he's awake, but it's shaloka darka, that's not going to be considered relations vis-a-vis our shivcha charufa. Nimsa miskaven v'amar b'shivcha k'shem miskaven b'chol arayos. Yashin kedarka k'yashin d'arayos. Nimsa ner shaloka darka b'shivcha k'yashin d'chol arayos. Okay. So, again, it's an attempt to give a pshat in the brisa, even though it's a very difficult pshat in the brisa, but at least everything we're saying now is correct. And it's a way of sustaining the brisa. Hajar l'acharba mechus v'kapara. That is the end of the second parak of Krisis. What time is it? You're going to tell me it's 8 o'clock. That's wonderful. That's just great. Okay. We'll finish today the second parak of Krisis. Tomorrow, God willing, we're going to start the third parak of Krisis. I'm happy to report now that Dafim are going to be considerably shorter because Tosos in the second parak made a partial comeback. Now Tosos in the third paragraph makes a full comeback. So if Tosos is making a full comeback, we should also make a full comeback. These Dapim coming up ahead now look like regular Dapim, as we've seen throughout Shas. So there's a chance that we're going to make our way back. There's more than just a chance, we will. Okay, to that I'm confident. When, I'm not so confident. But we will. Everyone have a wonderful week. And tomorrow we start with the third paragraph.